Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Kevin Sample.
We have the opportunity to continue our series called We Stand Together on His Promises. And have you noticed over the last few weeks, because we started this a month ago, that each of our sermons seems to focus on the word honor and how important honor is to being able to stand together. And it's such a contrast to our culture today, right? And if we can learn and we can practice this principle of honoring one another and honoring God, we are going to stand out like crazy. It's going to be a bright light, which we're called to be. Amen? Are you with me? Yeah. All right, we're awake. So, we are going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today, because I want to continue our series and this theme of honor, and we're going to focus on something that I had never really seen before, or it just came to me just in the last week or two. And over all the years of being a pastor and all the years of having a chance to preach or teach or do a devotional, I have never spoken on the specific subject that I'm going to today. So this is exciting, and I believe God wants to blow our mind and take us to another level of what it means to stand together, what it means to honor one another. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12 and read starting in verse 12 and read through verse 27. Now, I'm going to read this for the moment out of the New International Version. And so follow along and then we will pray. Verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Verse 15. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, maybe you want to circle that or highlight that. God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. Verse 24, while our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Look to your neighbor and say, you're part of the body of Christ. You're part of it. That includes you, right? That includes you online. You're part of it too. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity in this moment for us to look into your word again and receive life, the bread of life. And we ask that you would bring the word alive today, that the written word would become a rhema, a living word, a spoken word. It would bring revelation to all of us. Lord, right now in Jesus' name, by the power of your spirit and the blood of Jesus, we silence every distracting, negative spirit of the enemy that would keep us from hearing the word of truth right now. Holy Spirit, we're yours. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and courage to say yes to what you're saying to us today in your word. Lord, help us. We can't stand together by ourselves. We can't stand together if you are not in us and with us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I've been reading this passage in 1 Corinthians 12, you know, for a while because it speaks so clearly about this idea of standing together. We need each other. We can't look at other parts and say, I don't need you, or, well, I'm not like him or her, so I don't matter as much. Every part matters. Every part has a role. However, I was reading and doing some study, and as I looked at it in the New Living Translation, I saw a word that I hadn't noticed before. And so I want to read verse 25 from the New Living Translation. I want you to see a word that doesn't show up in the NIV or some of the other translations. And it reads like this, verse 25 of that same passage. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. Harmony. I hadn't noticed that before. And I started looking a little closer, and wow, there's something here for us today. So for the first time ever in my life in ministry, teaching, preaching, I am going to speak on harmony, the sound of honor. What does honor sound like? It sounds like harmony. So what is this? What is harmony? Well, if you do a little study on the word, here's the kinds of other words and phrases that will surface when you look at what is harmony. It's agreement. It's accord. Not a car, but it's the same type of word that we find in Acts chapter 2 that says that they were all together in one accord, and that's when the Spirit of God descended on them. Together. Harmony. Harmony is blending of musical notes that is pleasing to the ear, a pleasing arrangement of parts. It's complementary. We all, whether you're a musician or not, whether you can carry a tune in a bucket or not, I think we all have the sense when we hear music, whether it's pleasing to the ear or we've heard some of that music that sort of makes your head cock like a dog, you know. And, you know, and so instead of pleasing and harmonious, you know, it feels like something's not right. It's painful. Have you ever used the word painful when you've heard some bad music or maybe somebody who's not singing quite right? It can be painful. But we have been called to live in harmony. Harmony with one another. So I thought, okay, well, let's have some examples of this. And so, I don't know, you probably have in mind some music, maybe some musical groups that come to when you think of harmony. Yes, Earth, Wind, and Fire, come on. Well, I want you to hear something. This is one of the, when I think of rich harmony, here's one very common tune that you may recognize. Go ahead, let's play that. You may have heard this.
Listen to that.
All the voices.
Hallelujah.
You see, I've learned something over the last year. I don't know, some of you remember a time when I preached and I actually sang. I learned, so just, you can't duplicate. How many of you know that it doesn't quite sound like that when you sing that in the shower? Huh? Or in your car when you're by yourself? You can't harmonize by yourself. You need other voices. Now, we've learned through technology and recording equipment that we can duplicate our voice and we can sing all the parts and record it. But in real life, in real time, you need others to harmonize. And there's nothing like it when it's done well. That's pleasing to the ear. Now, that may not be your cup of tea. That may not be your favorite kind of music. I know that you have different things in mind, but that is harmony. Contrast it with this. Sonia, let's hit this. That's harmony. Now, I know that that's not the kind of music that you're going to put on for your kids to go to sleep at night, right? That sounds like it's a soundtrack from a horror movie or a suspense movie, like something's bad about to happen. Huh? Music, the power of harmony, it can either attract or it can cause people to scatter, right? I think there's something here. In God's word, it's not on accident that word harmony is here. And I think that today, what God wants to do is take our understanding of unity to another level. Because this is what I want us to see, is that harmony is more than just being on the same sheet of music. Harmony is more than just saying, yeah, we believe the same thing. We believe the Bible. Yeah, you may be unified that you believe the Bible, but that doesn't mean you're walking in harmony. So, let's take a look at some scriptures. I'm going to specifically highlight several that we're going to read here out of the New Living Translation. For that, the translators that gave us the New Living Translation chose harmony many places where we're used to unity. But I think there's something for us to get here. So look at Psalm 133. How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together and sisters live together in harmony. In harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 verse 16. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Romans 15:5. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for the followers of Christ Jesus. And Colossians 3:14, above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. I think there's something about harmony we need to get. Amen? So, what I'd like to do for the next few minutes is I'd like to talk about how harmony changes everything. Harmony changes everything. I think about how harmony not only is something that speaks to us from music, and we can all relate to that, and we may not use the word harmony to describe some other things, but I think it's important for us to realize that there's harmony going on in any situation where people are working well together, when they're complementing one another, when they're paying attention to each other and seeing how can we work together better. Amen? I mean, I'm a sports fan, and this weekend, for the first time in, I can't remember, I actually watched some live football yesterday. It's been months. And, you know, maybe you're not a sports fan, but there's some harmony going on when you see a team move the ball down the field in football. 11 guys in sync, in harmony, each one doing their job, and all of a sudden, it's beauty. It's peaceful. It's harmonious. I mean, speaking of football, I have to give a shout out to my son, Nate, who's tuning in from El Paso, Texas today. Hello, Nate. I got a shout out because, believe it or not, yesterday, where he is a graduate assistant strength coach at University of Texas, El Paso, the UTEP Miners won their first game last night, and he was there on the sideline with the team. So, go Miners. I never was a UTEP fan, but now I am. And they won their first game. But it's the harmony, it's a team working together. It's a team. And if you're not a sports fan, then what about the harmony that can happen or not happen in your home? Is there harmony at home? Is there complimenting one another? When I say compliment, I'm talking about more than nice shirt crews. Compliment is, how can I come alongside? How can I help make you better? How can we communicate and see how we can serve one another? That's harmony. See, coming to church and being in the same room once a week, that's not harmony. It can be if we're intentional about it, but just because you go sit in a room with somebody doesn't mean you're living in harmony. How many of you have been at a workplace? You come to the same building every day with a bunch of people. You're unified. You're working for so-and-so. But how many of you know there's not always harmony? In fact, that second music that I played, maybe that's how you feel every day you walk into the office. I don't know. Harmony is a sweet thing. Three words that I want to take a moment to talk about today. Humility, work, speaking of Labor Day, it is Labor Day weekend, so thank you all for working hard. And the third word is honor. Humility, work, and honor. Three ingredients that are crucial if you and I are going to harmonize. If we are going to make a melody that brings glory to God. If we are going to be able to work together in such a way that is attractive as opposed to scattering people. Why is it that you often hear people don't want to have anything to do with church? Because they've experienced a lot of disunity, disharmony, discord, incompatibility, painful, right? God designed us to harmonize, but it takes humility, work, and honor. So let's start with honor. Let's start with humility. Here's a phrase that you probably heard somewhere before. We is greater than me. If we are going to harmonize, we have to get past that it's all about me. And how often do we come into church? How often do we gather together, whether it's a life group or whether we're serving on one of our volunteer teams or whether we're just coming in to worship together? How often is the focus me? How's this feeling to me? Are these my favorite songs or no? Do I like that worship leader as much or no? Whatever it may be. Humility is a key to harmonizing. Because here's what I've learned over the years regarding music. When it comes to vocalists that are working together, whether it's a choir like we heard that beautiful sound of the Hallelujah chorus, or whether it could be our worship team vocalists. We saw it on display today. Beautiful. The key is each member has a part to sing, but it's not just I'm singing this part, but it's am I singing it in such a way that blends with the others? You know, if singers come together and say, well, okay, I've got the sheet music, here's my part, I'm going to sing, la, 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 la. And they start singing, and they're just like yelling, belting it out. That's going to be more distracting than anything. Because it's not just that you have your sheet music and you know your part, but it's that you bring your part with an attitude of humility that says, how can I make my part blend with those around me? I mean, it's every, there's so many facets to it musically. You know, there are times where, in the context of music, where your part may need to be silent. You know, there were times up here, if you notice, there were certain vocalists singing and there were others that weren't. That was on purpose in the flow of the song. And if each part does what it should at the right time, what happens? Voila. Huh? As we were listening to the Hallelujah chorus, what makes that so powerful is that there are moments where certain parts are quiet and others are louder, and then the others come in, and then they're all together. But if all the parts come into the practice and say, okay, I know my part, and they say, I'm just going to do it my way, I'm going to sing it my way, I'm the most important part, turn up my mic. Or, what do you mean you want me to be silent? Okay, I quit, I'm going home. Humility. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians 2, we hear the Apostle Paul write to the Philippians about Jesus. And he says about Jesus that though being God, that he humbled himself and became a servant. He humbled himself, though he was the God of the universe, in harmony with the symphony that the Father had written. This was his part in the symphony at this particular point in time, was to humble himself and be subject to shame, betrayal, to give his life. Because if he didn't do this, we're not here today. If Jesus doesn't humble himself, if he doesn't become quiet, were there points where Jesus was silent? Oh, did he have something he could have said? Did he already know where things were going to head? Yes, he did. But he knew that for what was on the other side to happen, this was a moment where he needed to button it. Harmony takes humility. And we live in a culture where everybody's like this out there. Everybody, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. But you know what? To harmonize, there are times you need to do this. There may be conversations that happen in your home where you've got something to say, but the Spirit of God is telling you, do this. And listen. Hear what somebody else has to say. Hear their part. And see how God wants to use your part to come alongside at the right time. And maybe now isn't. Humility. Second word, work. Work. Harmony is not easy or convenient, but it's worth it. Harmony is not easy or convenient, but it's worth it. It takes work to blend with others. It's a lot easier to go solo. It's a lot easier to just go solo. It's not as much work. Oh, it takes work to be a good soloist. But when it comes to working with others and causing your voice to adjust and blend, there's a lot of variables that I just don't want to deal with. I'll just do solo. Are you connecting the dots? Are you connecting to the dots? How often we... Our human nature is lazy. Our human nature is, what's the shortcut? What's the easiest route to my goal of me being the center of the universe? Now, there is a place, and even within music, when you have a powerful solo voice, that's a beautiful thing. In the context. In the context. It's beautiful. However, isn't it interesting in our world that it seems like at all fronts, whether it's music or career or sports or you name whatever it may be, there's this sort of unspoken idea that we all tend to buy into that says the progression to success always leads to me being by myself at the top with all the attention on me. Eventually, I'm the CEO. What about music? What is the progression of a music artist? When do they arrive? When they go solo. Everybody starts as part of a group, right? How many music artists start in a band? Start with, how many music artists have started as part of a church choir? They started singing in church, but they arrived when they went solo. But God's called us to live in harmony. And there are moments for a strong solo, and sister, bring it when it's time for that solo. But we weren't designed to be solo. It's not just me and Jesus. It's us. It's a harmony of voices. It's a symphony. It's everybody using their part. And you may never be a soloist. You may never be in a spotlight. But let me tell you, there is an important role, and when it's time for you to play your part, everybody needs you. Think about the parts of your body. Your body works in harmony, and there are parts of your body that nobody ever sees. In fact, there are parts of my body I've never seen, thankfully. There's probably parts of your body you have seen that you wish you hadn't because of things you've gone through. But what's the point? We need every part of our physical body to work in harmony for health and strength, endurance, all the things that we need to live, right? Every part matters, but it takes work when we're dealing with people we can't control, which is everybody but you. But God's called us to come together and work together. So, have you been lazy? Have you been justifying not putting in the work because, well, it's just not a good fit for me. That didn't work out, or I don't know, I just don't feel it. How many of you are thankful that when it came time for your scheduled surgery, that your surgeon didn't say, I had a bad night last night. I'm not at my best today. I think I'll, let's postpone. Let's not do this. No, there are times when, regardless of our feelings, we got to submit that to God. And we can say, Lord, how can I humble myself? How can I put in some work and come alongside someone who's not easy to come alongside? And not make excuses like, well, this is not really convenient for me, so it must not be God. Or, well, I'm trying to find your toes right now. Are you feeling it? the body of Christ, harmony is all of us stepping up in our role and finding a part to play and showing up and contributing. So, what's your part? Well, she's found her part, or he. What's your part? Do you know that this church is full of life groups, and there's a place for everyone in this church? You were designed to be in a life group because you were designed to walk in relationship with one another. So are you making excuses for not being in a life group? Oh, sure, you may not be able to be there every week. Sure, there are seasons of life. I mean, we've got babies being born, and moms and families are in unique seasons. And you know, there's seasons. But listen to me. Even when you're in a season, you have family. You have people there for you. So we should always be connected in a life group, whether we're there every week or not. We have people that we're calling, we're talking with, or they're reaching out. There's no season where there's not a place to be in a family. What part are you playing in serving? What about, you know, now that we're opening up and, you know, every Sunday when we are in this building, I don't know if you've noticed it, but there's a harmony of service going on. There's people on this stage, people back there in the booth, people out in the lobby, behind the scenes, safety team. What's going on? It's the body of Christ harmonizing, serving one another. There's a place for you. Where are you serving? And then the last word, the third word I want to talk about is honor. Honor. And I specifically want to talk about honor related to who's in charge. How many of you know that music that we heard of the Hallelujah Chorus, and you have all those amazing various instruments and voices all playing together? It's like they're just at the right time, the different parts come in and go out. How does that happen? It's because there's a conductor. Have you ever seen a symphony orchestra or seen it? You know, you see that guy up there like doing this, he's got the little stick, you know, and he's doing this and making all kinds of gestures. Somehow that means something to somebody. It means what that's doing is it is directing the members of the symphony, the vocalists, the orchestra members. What are they doing? They're honoring the conductor. What would happen if one of the, you know, what would happen if one of the trombone players says, "Ah, forget you." What would happen to that orchestra? All of a sudden, you got the cocked head again, right? Whoa. Who's in charge? Who are we following? Who are we following? Who's writing the music? He is. We're part of his symphony. We're part of his music. And it's beautiful. None of us could ever write anything as amazing as he writes. And he writes stuff through us. He writes beautiful music through us. But he is the author. Think of it this way. Father God is the author. Jesus is the conductor. And the Holy Spirit is the power for each of us to play our part. But it's honoring him. We cannot harmonize unless we honor the conductor. Unless we take our orders from him. If we say yes, but I want to do her part. When do I get to do that part? Honoring the conductor. He knows what's best. He knows the right time. He knows. Honor him. The music's playing. It means it's time to wrap this up. So I want to conclude. I was thinking about this even this morning. You know, my awareness and knowledge of music, a lot of it comes from being married to my wife, Kelly. We've been married for over 30 years. And the very first time I laid eyes on Kelly Pace as her maiden name, it was my first day of Bible college in Seattle, Washington, at Northwest College in 1983. And she was up on the platform singing in the worship team. That's the very first time I laid eyes on my wife. And I said, "There's my wife." No, I didn't. But I did take notice. I did take notice. But my wife is a trained musician. She got a 4-year degree. She got a bachelor's degree in voice. And she plays the keyboard. She is passionate about music. She has got skill. I mean, I've heard her in her voice degree. She had to sing in German. I've heard her sing in Italian. She drugged me all over the place to recitals in Seattle, listening to all kinds of different music. I didn't care because I was with her. But what I'm saying is my wife has a vast experience and a lot of skills. She's passionate about music. But guess what I've learned from my wife? Because I've seen her be on the worship team. I've seen her be a keyboard player. I've seen her be a worship leader. I've seen her be a featured soloist in a choir. I've seen her be a part of an ensemble. I've seen her in all kinds of settings as a musician. You know what I've learned from her over the years? I've learned what it means to be a mature musician that knows how to harmonize. Because you know what harmony looks like? It looks like playing whatever role is needed for that time. And she can sing all the different parts. But she's submitted to the conductor, and she's submitted to whoever's conducting here. Why? So that she can contribute her skills to harmonize with the team. So last week she's up playing the keyboard. Today she's over here on the side singing. Another week she'll, and she's been all over. What is it? It's someone who says, "How can I serve? Lord, I want to harmonize. What's the best? I've got a lot of skill, but how can I best fit in with this team right now?" So how about you? I don't care if you've been in church 30 years or this is your first week. We all have a part to play. But God is wanting to mature us to where we say, "Lord, fit me wherever you need me. What can I do to harmonize? How can I come alongside my family member and say, where can I serve?" Amen? Hey, that's the sound of honor. It's the sound of honor when we are preferring one another, listening to one another, blending in together, humble, hardworking, surrendered to the great conductor, and then what happens? Hallelujah, hallelujah. So that's why you can look around and you hear music that's attractive, not some cringe movie like what's coming around the corner. You bow your heads with me. Amen. Bow your head in this moment. We're going to close in prayer. And you know that whether you're here or whether you're with us online, the most important decision we'll ever make if we're going to live in harmony is we surrender our life to the conductor. We surrender our life to the author, who is Jesus, who is Father God. So with your heads bowed, I wondered, is there anybody here who you know what? I've not been surrendered to the conductor. I'm a solo act. I've been out there just doing whatever I want. Or maybe you've been hanging around. Maybe you like the harmony that you hear and see around here, but you realize I've never said I'm all in. I'm going to surrender to Jesus. I'm going to say, "Lord, what part can I play in your kingdom instead of how can you help with my kingdom?" If you know you need to surrender and you want to surrender and just go all in with Jesus, raise your hand. Do that online. Is that you online? You want to go all in? You realize that there's been probably more pride than you realize going on. Thank you. Amen. Well, we're going to pray a prayer. I'd like everyone to repeat after me, because this prayer is good, whether it's the first time you've ever surrendered to Jesus or just acknowledging and remembering what this is all about. So repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, you are the great conductor. You're the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the great author. I surrender to you today. I lay my life down. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Take over my life. And lead me in harmony with your Spirit and with those around me. And show me my part to play. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.